outfits anyway and marched around their hotel in celebration. They'll try to rebound from this week's loss to Sweden when they play New Zealand in their second game of the Summer Games tomorrow. The four-hour celebration began with a countdown video montage leading to performers on the main field, a performance that included a moment of silence. With this Summer Games update, I'm Erica Herskowitz, Westwood One Sports.
Research shows people remember radio ads that remind them of the past. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, here's an ad that'll really take you back.
Back in my day, I heard a voice from the radio say, Liberty Mutual customizes my home insurance so I only pay for what I need. I'm getting on in years now, but heavens to Betsy, there are some things an old fella like me just never forgets.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
At Lowe's, we know your home is an expression of you, and we see you walking down these aisles of possibility, running your finger on that marble top Allen and Roth vanity, regularly $5.99, but now $3.49, and finding that perfect rattan pendant at an everyday low price of $99.98. In our showrooms of style, you'll find whatever you're into at a price you'll really get into. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see associate at Lowe's.com for details. Valid through 8/29/21, U.S. only.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Friday morning in Louisville, Kentucky. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And my co-host has on this morning. I wish all of our listeners could see what you have on. He has his Wuhan Bats t-shirt that Jeff Pierce, right?
Jeff Pierce.
At Dirty Tees sent us. That is beautiful.
Isn't that sweet?
That is beautiful.
Isn't that sweet? On TV, you know, they have different high-end clothing people that provide sport coats and pants.
Oh,
and
yeah,
ties, right?
In the credits at the end of the show,
they
say who the wardrobe is furnished by.
So we do ours at the top of the show. We give credit at the top of the show. I love the T-shirt.
It's great.
I love it.
Yeah. I put my Baltimore Claws T-shirt on yesterday. Sherry took a picture of me that Jeff sent us, and I sent it to the kids. And the first thing out of the box, Scott says, I need one of those. It's an extra large. I need a Baltimore Claws t-shirt. So I'm going to have to contact Jeff.
Yeah. The Baltimore Claws. My goodness. We can't quit talking about
that. With the Sheltie and the green parakeet on the back. My 10 days in Baltimore.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff been going on here over the last week. I had a conversation with somebody that I trust their information. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And they told me this SEC Big 12 thing, a conversation with Oklahoma and Texas has been going on for over a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a report, some writer out of Austin, I believe, put out a report that said it had been going on for 6 months. And that Texas A&M was completely left out of the conversation. I guess they already figured how their vote was going to go, so there was no need to inform them. But this looks like a done deal, Michael.
Yeah, it does. And it would take a couple of years to implement, but money's no problem for either one of those schools.
Oh.
I mean, they got that oil money coming in.
I guarantee you. I told the story about Red McCombs, who started a little company called Clear Channel. He gave the University of Texas $50 million for their business school. The business school at Texas is called the Red McCombs School of Business.
It should be.
And I'm sure they could find seven people to pony up $10 million and write that check tomorrow. So, and I'm sure Oklahoma's in the same boat.
The SEC, I think I read, if this is correct, $60 million, which will be paid out sometime this summer for the last year or two, whatever it is, because they accumulate money. They pay it out, but then they accumulate just like a reserve fund.
You're talking about, does that primarily come from the TV money?
It comes from TV, bowls, NCAA.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because the NCAA pays it out not in one lump sum anymore. They stretch it out, and they pay you X amount of your units for the years.
Well, they got to make sure they have enough on hand to pay those
$2 and $3 million
salaries everybody at the NCAA seems to be getting.
That's a great job if you can get it, you know, a great job. But we've got Greg Gurley, the analyst, former player for Kansas, joining us at 10:30. So we'll see. We want to talk Kansas basketball. But, you know, one of the sticky wickets in this whole thing is Kansas football.
Exactly. The timing on this could not be better. And I would think if Texas and Oklahoma are gone, I would think that Kansas would be the most attractive. Well, maybe West Virginia. But, you know, West Virginia and Kansas, I think, can go just about any place they want to, providing they can buy their way out. But that the Big 12's in trouble. Oh. You start talking about, well, we're going to add schools like Houston and
Utah,
SMU and Memphis. That, you know, that's not going to fly.
And everybody wants to add BYU. They have such a following nationally, okay, among the Mormon population, but they have stipulations on when they can play, okay. And there's some stipulations about that. So I think they would have been in a league a long time ago if somebody could work through that.
Right.
Now you're looking at Utah.
I think BYU. I think it's Utah State, isn't it? Because Utah's in the pack.
Well, they were talking about getting them back.
All right.
You know,
all right.
If they're going to keep
it
alive.
Why would somebody want to leave the Pac-12?
Pac-12 has very little TV money.
Really?
Yeah. They're the lowest of all.
I have trouble keeping up with the numbers. Is it the Pac-10, the Pac-12, the Pac-18? But whatever it is, that surprises me. I would think that there was no way Utah would leave the Pac-12 to go to a decimated Big 12.
Well, let's go back to Kansas. I mean, they would be attractive. I mean, it's not about the – and, you know, I was reading an article. I'm going to just deviate a second, Dan. It's not about the TV boxes in the houses, according to this article. It's about the streaming subscriptions, okay, which is eyeballs. But the streaming subscriptions are what really make a lot of decisions with TV. Now, you go to Lawrence, Kansas, which is about, you know, 45 minutes from KC.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know, as bad as their football is, and you would look at them in football as being a pigeon for some of these leagues, but the basketball, you know, is obviously one of the blue bloods. So where do they fit in? I mean, geographically, they fit pretty good with Missouri. They got a great rivalry over the years with Missouri. And they fit with Arkansas in the SEC, okay, on that side. And they also fit with A&M. But, you know, they're never talked about simply, I think, because of the size of their town they are in.
Yeah, it's tiny. You take KU out of Lawrence, and there's not much left.
There's just – Law, not Lawrence. There's just law. But, I mean, I think that's – if I'm the Big Ten, you look at it, you go like, you know what? We're going to bring his football team in and just beat the dog crap out of them. And the basketball helps us.
Right.
The basketball helps anybody. I mean, it's a blue blood.
Yeah.
And you go to the Fog, and it's got all that history and this and that. So, but no one talks about Kansas. They're kind of an afterthought.
Yeah. Is it because, Mike, I mean, around here, you know, with U of L's history and UK's history, you know, we probably have college basketball a little higher up the list than a lot of people around the country do.
Sure, sure.
I think in most places, it's all about, not most places, in a lot of places, it's all about the football team.
It's not at Kansas.
No,
it's not at Kansas. I was looking at some of this information that's out there. I assume it's correct, but you can't assume that. you're going to need like 2 years to get out of your current contract in with a league, okay? And, for example, the buyout, they said, with Oklahoma and Texas would be about $150 million.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it was more like in the $70 million.
Well, put the two together for 2 years.
Oh, okay. I got that. I'm with you.
So that's just a number I read. And then the kicker was they thought the SEC and SEC would go to ESPN at that point and say, look, we got two new teams. They got tons of streaming, tons of eyeballs, whatever. You know who they are. Give us more money.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So the more money they get, then they can pass it back through to Oklahoma and Texas ultimately, and it wouldn't be a significant hit on their bottom line.
Right.
So,
well, I think, even at the current rates, I think it takes less than 2 years to cover for SEC money to cover the buyout for Texas and Oklahoma. Yeah. Now, it might be 2 years before they are assimilated into the conference, but it sounds like this thing's going to happen really quick. What does the Big 12 do? I think the Big 12 had a conference call last night of all of the schools, and Oklahoma and Texas declined to call in. So what is that? Where does that leave them? They can't kick them out, because if they kick them out, they lose the $150 million that they're owed. So, that would be – I think that would be awful to have a lame duck season or two where they're gone real quick.
I think, and I can tell Mr. Process wants to jump in because he's a football guy, but I think they sent a message when they had a league meeting and two guys failed – to call in. What do you think about that?
I mean, look, it's one of those things where you screwed up and you don't want to go, pay the piper, so you just kind of ignore it and act like it's not there, and hopefully it goes away. That's what it feels like to me. I don't think they just want to talk to the Big 12. They don't want to get in trouble. They're like, we're out. We're worth. We're done. We don't want to do it anymore.
Okay, so all this has come out. Does it probably moves the deadline for announcing and planning to move out to probably this weekend.
Look, I'm down. Hey, Texas, man, they screwed the Big 12 so hard. This league is doomed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you start talking process about replacing Texas and Oklahoma with Houston and SMU, that tells you how far that league is. Fall.
They're talking about Cincinnati and Memphis, Central Florida, South Florida, all those people out of the AAC, the American Conference. They're talking about bringing them in as an Eastern Division, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what does that do for you?
I think it quickly takes you out of consideration as being one of the top five power conferences. I think that conference is doomed. Absolutely doomed.
I mean, they're going to fall apart. Because I think they're going to start getting poached pretty quickly. I think you're going to be the first dominoes to fall. I think West Virginia might get, go elsewhere. Like you said, Kansas might go elsewhere. I find Kansas to be less valuable than you guys. That's an interesting take. You guys believe Kansas to be so valuable because of their basketball. I just think their football is so bad that it drags them down.
Drags it down. That's a good point. That's a good point. And that was what I was trying to say earlier. Although around here we value the basketball, and correctly so, we value the basketball programs, and I know they value the basketball program at Kansas. It's one of the premier teams and has been for years and years and years. But in other parts of the country, I think you're exactly right. I don't think they value what you do on the basketball floor as far as being accepted into conferences and that kind of money conversation that we do with our basketball teams around here.
And look at it this way. Kansas football, there's not a lot of people going to stream a Kansas football game outside a loyal alumni group, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So that streaming and eyeballs, forget about that. But basketball, I mean, they've got a national following. I mean, that's a blue blood of blue bloods.
Absolutely.
And so, you got to ask yourself, if you're a league, you go, is that a fair trade-off? Can they do for us through basketball what they can't in football, and that's a difference maker for them when we look at them. And we'll ask Greg Gurley, but if they're going someplace, the Big Ten would be a terrific matchup for them.
I don't think you can disagree with this, that after Texas and Oklahoma leaves, I think Kansas would be the most attractive team to other conferences of what's left over. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I would.
Maybe Oklahoma State because of their football, but I would think that Kansas is right at the top of the list after Oklahoma and Texas leave.
Well, let me throw this at you. What if Texas A&M pisses and moans about all this and it's become a negative situation in the league? The league should say, okay, look, here's the deal. We're going to trade you back to the Big 12, and we're taking Kansas because we need somebody to beat in football.
let me tell you something. They're going to moan about it, and they're going to be upset until they go to the mailbox and get that check. Then they'll be just fine with staying in the SEC.
But can you – it's like what I say about coaches, and Bob Valvano and I talk about this all the time. But you used to be able to money whip coaches. Okay, you used to be able – a guy was making $1 million and he set the world on fire. The next school came along at 2.5. He's gone. Well, there's mid-major guys that are making $2 million, $2.5 million. And sometimes they're very reluctant to move because of what they can do in that particular job versus taking, let's just say, Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're going to pay you $4 million. I get that. But that's a harder job.
Much harder. That seat gets a little hotter.
So I'm gonna stay with my $2.5 million and have a chance to win a tournament. And that's why it's so hard, guys. You know this process. I think you would agree. To fill the jobs at Duke and Carolina, Kentucky, Louisville, those old line blue blood schools, it's so hard to plug in a coach from someplace else because A, they've got to follow Jim Boeheim. Now, the money's going to work, but they don't want to, take the money. I don't care about the money. Boeheim's been so good, or whoever it is, off those old line schools that, the money's not that important, man. You see that. I think that's why they've gone to hiring from within, because they don't have to be turned down. And when you're turned down once, the word gets out. Whether you really were turned down or not, you're my agent. And you decide that I'm going to get Pratt a little ink here. I'm going to get him a little bump. I'm going to tell everybody that he was on the list and turned it down.
Yeah,
at Kansas or wherever. And that happens now. I mean, Dan, the leverage those agents try to get.
Yeah, but if you walked in with your Juhan bat T-shirt on, I don't think you'd get the job anyway. So
really,
yeah, I think that'd be a deal breaker.
What do you think, process?
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe turn it into a suit and then give that a shot.
You're too much, man. Hey, process is going on vacation. He's going to the shore. Yeah, he's going to Jersey Shore, South Jersey Shore.
Yes, I'm going to the shore.
Is that close to Monmouth Racetrack?
I don't know. Is it?
I think so.
How close is Monmouth to Atlantic City?
I have no idea.
But the shore's right there at Monmouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ocean's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you find that out, okay? And then take a little extra money. Dan and I will text you, see if you can't put something on like the 4-horse and the 8th race for us.
Who are you going with?
My family.
Fun.
Yeah. No, I haven't been to the shore in quite a while. Probably since I was 17 or 18. So, it's good to go back. I'll take a lot of vacation, so it's good to get a little time off.
So you'll be gone a week?
I'll be gone a week. Yeah.
First vacation in 5 years for the guy. How about that?
Really?
Yeah. I just don't like taking off work.
Well, the attitude you had yesterday, you need a vacation.
Yeah, I'm on checkout time, man. Trust me, I need a vacation.
Oh, well, that'll be fun. Have a great time. You leaving today?
Yeah, I'm going to get your guys' show done. I'm going to put it on the internet and podcast it, and then I'm just going to, boom, go on.
Driving or flying?
Driving.
Driving.
Always driving.
How far is the drive?
10 hours. We're splitting it in half. We never do that, but yeah, we're doing. We're going to get to mid Pennsylvania tonight, and then pick up, go there tomorrow.
Pennsylvania Turnpike, man. I've traveled that before. When I was on active duty in the Army, I used to, as soon as we got off at Fort Belvoir that afternoon, I'd get in that car and drive back to Louisville. This was after my our rookie year. I'd drive back to Louisville, and then in going back, I would I'd leave about kids, put the kids to bed, and then I'd leave about 11, 12 o'clock, and I'd make it for Reveille, okay, in the morning. And I drove that thing going, oh, man, that Pennsylvania Turnpike. But saying that, you know what I remember? And maybe you'll stop. They had, what was the ice cream? They had an ice cream company at the rest stops. And the rest stops used to be right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they had an ice cream place. And I can't think of what kind it was. And whenever I stopped to get gas, I got ice cream. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's at night, that's the best time to travel, because if you drive that road during the day, it's
a nightmare.
Semi after semi. I like driving from here to Denver, because I get on the other side of Kansas City, and I can put the cruise control on and not take it off till I get to Denver.
Yeah.
That's the kind of driving I like. Yeah. You can't even turn the cruise control on that turnpike.
How far is that drive to Denver?
It's from here. Do I take Sherry or not take Sherry? When I take,
all right, let's just say it's a straight shot.
If it's a straight shot from right here to Denver's about 16 and a half hours.
Oh my
hours.
God. You do that one shot?
No, when I was a young man, I used to do a straight shot. Like Mike said, leave about the time the kids went to bed and put them in the back seat and then drive all night. But no, those days are over.
My limit's about 12 hours and one rest stop, and that's it. That's the move.
Well, our former teammate, Louis Dampier, he told me, and I think you too, he'd get in that car and drive all night.
He's an idiot.
I mean, he just drive.
And I worried about him because, I mean, until we got to COVID, he'd drive over through the night and drive all the way to Florida to get there. And I said, what are you driving all night for? Because when you get there, you go to bed and sleep all day. So what's the difference? But he was 73, 74 years old and was driving all night between here and Florida.
I want to tell you, when we went to Charlotte, we drove and needed a car, and we're going to spend those days. And I want to tell you what, I hadn't been out long distance like that for a while. And these trucks scare the hell out of me, man. They are just what you said the other day.
Yesterday, yeah. I told you, I got behind one, was going 81 miles an hour down 64. And I mean, I'm not talking about a panel truck. I'm talking about an 18-wheeler. And they drive like they're in a Ferrari, man. They whip around cars and whip over into the left-hand lane. I agree with you.
Don't you love it when the trucks or pickup trucks come right behind you? You know, it's like, it's a game to them. They're just going to hit you and push you aside, you know, let them through. And I'm going like, I try to stay in the middle lane if there's three, obviously.
Right.
But I don't want to go slow into fast, but, you know, I'm going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they're up my bumper.
That's what I said. What happened to speed limits? Speed limits, 70 miles an hour. I'm going 78, and cars are whizzing by me. They got to be going 90 miles an hour.
Y'all are going to hate me then, because, I mean, there's times where I drive up to Chicago and I'm in, you know, middle of Indiana, and I get into wars with people. Like, they cut me off, so I'm like, I play chicken with them, and I cut them off, and they cut me back off. And I just war throughout Indiana until I get to a five-lane highway, and then I can't do that anymore. It's a dangerous game, man. But I'm too, I don't know what the word for that is. Idiotic, maybe?
Well, the only problem with that process, you know, 20 years ago, that game was played by people without pistols.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. The worst, 20 years ago, the worst that would happen is that somebody would give you the finger. Now they'll pull a gun out and shoot you.
This is fair.
Can you get by? Are you going up through Columbus and over to Pittsburgh that way? Or are you going up through West Virginia?
Up through West Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to get by Charleston before the busy part.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Okay, I've driven to Charleston before. I forget how. It's about 4 hours?
Something like that. Getting through Ohio is the first real long leg of it. I mean, it's probably an hour to Cincy, or an hour and a half to Cincy through Ohio, probably 4.5, 5.
So then you go east from Cincy.
Yeah, we go through Cincinnati, the bottom part of Ohio, through West Virginia briefly, and then through Pennsylvania, and we're there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I hadn't taken that route.
Yeah, well, it's the route we've always taken. I mean, in 16 years of doing it, that's how we go. I don't know why we go that way, but that's the way my father chooses to drive it, so I got no qualms. As little time in West Virginia as I can spend, I'll take it.
But that's not all interstate, is it?
It is.
Is it?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, 74 out of Cincinnati, I think it's 74 out of Cincinnati.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take a break process. Whoa, whoa, we got one thing we got to do before we take a break.
I want to tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza, Mike. Stop by the Bowman Field location. Say hello to Rob Moody, the proprietor there. There are 13 area locations in Kentucky, and it's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose, now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back for the second half hour of the first hour. And we're going to talk a little basketball and maybe some football, because there's a lot of conversation about both with Greg Gurley, the former Kansas guard and current, played for Roy Williams, Dan. And was on the 93 Final Four team, mm-hmm. and currently the analyst on the Jayhawk Network. Greg, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to hear from you. We didn't get a chance to visit last year because nobody went anywhere with the COVID thing. But we'll be – and let me start this off, okay? Issel has never been to the Fog. Greg, never been to the Fog. And wow. He's charged me with finding him a ticket to go to the game next year.
And well, Greg,
I know a guy. We can take care of him for sure. You got to experience it.
Oh yeah,
I would love to come this year when we play the Jayhawks. During your career at Kansas, would you have played with Rafe LaFrenz or Paul Pierce?
Yes. Well, not Paul. Rafe was a freshman when I was a senior, but I played with, like, early in my career, it was Rex Walters, Adonis Jordan. Greg Ostertag and I are the same age, so we played all four. And then Jock Vaughn, Scott Pollard, Jared Haas, guys like that. So we had some good teams.
Yeah, and so Pierce would have come the year after you left, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yep. Okay, all right. Well, it has to...
He's lucky he didn't come when I was playing, because he probably wouldn't have started.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. That's my sarcasm. I started one game in my career, so, yeah.
Well, Greg, I've told this story many times, but I was a general manager of the Denver Nuggets, and we loved Paul Pierce, but we needed a big guy. And so instead of taking Paul Pierce, we took Rafe LaFrenz. So that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, who was no slouch. But, yeah, when you look at the numbers, hindsight 2020, Paul had an unbelievable career, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
Well, tell us, we talked about your career and Paul Pierce's career. But doing the ball games, let's talk about Kansas was involved in the transfer portal situation like Kentucky and others. What did you guys acquire out of that portal, and who do you have coming back that we need to keep our eye on?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, you look at the Blue Bloods, they're going to benefit from the transfer portal. I think it's going to really hurt mid-majors, because if you have a mid-major squad and you have a good player and they can go start at Kentucky or Kansas, they're going to bolt. And so you know, everyone, a lot of people don't like it, but and I wouldn't say that I like it, but you now use it as a valuable tool, just like Coach Cal will and Bill and others, because, you know, you can kind of, for lack of a better term, have some guys leave or get rid of some guys and replace them with starters. And it's going to change the game. I mean, for us, you know, we had an entire recruiting class that left. You know, we had, I think it was three of our freshmen last year that all left, and we were able to kind of, you know, Bill referred to himself as kind of a general manager at times, because you could now go out there and look at the portal. So what we lost was a senior in Marcus Garrett, and then really the other guy, Bryce Thompson, who we thought was going to be a really good player for us. He kind of surprisingly left and is going to Oklahoma State. So we were able to go out there and, you know, we really lacked perimeter play last year from the point guard position. And Marcus Garrett was a great player for us, just wasn't a point guard. And so that's where we really struggled last year at times. So he went out and got Joseph Yesufu from Drake, who's going to be great. And then late in the game, we added Remy Martin, who was an all Pac-12 kid at Arizona State, who 2 and 3 years ago once came in down, filled out and beat us at Arizona State. Then we went to Tempe and got beat when we were the number one team in the country. So, you know, if we hated him when we played against him, now we love having him. So he's going to make a real difference for us, because we need that point guard play. And so we're excited about another kid that's going a little different route for us, who's a Division II kid out of Joplin, Missouri Southern. One of our former players, Jeff Boshi, was his coach. And Cam Martin is his name, 6'9", kind of a stretch 4, stretch 5 that can really shoot it. Now that we have the point guard kind of solidified, you know, a lot of penetrating pitch, it's going to – I look at our team kind of like we're going to play like an NBA team type, where, you know, you just run downhill, penetrate, and really, really shoot the three ball well. And Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Wilson, who declared for the draft, decided to come back. So we're going to have a nice team. We're going to have a really nice team. Well, we should be a top 5, top 10 team, and, you know, see where it goes from there. But our conference is going to be tough, because Texas had just as good, if not a better, time with the transfer portal. So it's going to be a fun league.
Greg, you mentioned the transfer portal is going to benefit the blue bloods and the haves in all of this. But I heard a statistic the other day from the commissioner of the SEC, and I find this amazing. Now, this just isn't basketball. This is all sports. Over 13,000 athletes entered the transfer portal.
Wow.
There are still, and this is the part that is very sad to me, there are still over 11,000 in the transfer portal. So it looks to me that you know, this is going to work out great for the top teams, but there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be really disappointed.
For sure. You know, it's kind of like you think you're going to break up with your girlfriend. You tell her you're leaving because you got this other one, but then it doesn't work out and you want to come back, you know, and it doesn't work like that. There's going to be some ill will, you know. Hey, you wanted to leave us. Now you're, I mean, I don't know. They're just man on an island right now. So I agree with you. And it's you know, kids sometimes make bad decisions. You know, when you guys were playing, when I was playing, you know, you guys didn't wait your turn because you guys were stars, but a guy like me, nowadays would probably think about leaving because I didn't start as a freshman or as a sophomore. And so it's just such a different game. I mean, no one has patience anymore. No players don't have patience. Parents don't have patience. Their AAU coaches, if you don't play right away, the grass isn't always greener. And that's going to be a part of the game. It's going to be completely lost because, you know, our fan bases are never going to get to know a kid over 2 or 3 years. And that had already started to happen at a Kentucky or a Kansas when guys leave early. But still, you're not going to have, you know, the way to build championship teams, as you know, is to have some one and dones, but you also got to have your role guys and your guys that make sacrifices to make them better. And if those guys start to, you know, how you're going to ever have any continuity in your program, I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of recruiting done every April and May when the season's over and people think they want to jump. So it's the Wild West right now. I don't think there's any way to predict what college basketball will be like in 2 to 5 years.
Greg, I was talking with somebody the other day, or read that the portal now has been moved up to May 1st, the last time you can stay in the portal and transfer next year. But this year, you know, just closed in July. I think that might help. But I'll ask you, and I know you and Bill talk publicly. He hasn't said anything about the portal. Neither has Calipari. But what's his thoughts on it? Has he shared that with you? I mean, you know, he was at Oral Roberts, right? And right. That's a mid-major school. And he had to feel – he has to look back and say, man, if I had a really good player, I was SOL because somebody would come in and scoop him up. I mean, what exactly. What does he think about this?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about it. You know, he's pretty guarded in his comments. And obviously publicly, you know, Cal and Bill are smart guys. That's why they are where they're at. You know, they're Hall of Famers for a reason. They know when to say something publicly and when to kind of keep it with their guys. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it. And it's one of those things. Those are smart guys. They whether they like it or not, they have to use it, because if you don't and you just try to stick with what you got and build through young kids, it's just not going to work. So, you know, again, they're smart guys. They're going to use it. Personally, I would imagine, you know, what we've talked about, he's like, yeah, you know, this isn't the college basketball that he came up with and grew up with, but – as we all know, you got to change with the times, and that's what he's doing. And this NIL stuff, this transfer stuff, you know, in the same conversation, you know, do kids now decide to come back, or do they make a decision to transfer based on their earning potential? That's going to be a whole nother thing to discuss. Like, how are they going to, I mean, there's really no, you can't guard against it. You know, a place like Kansas could be a little in a bit of a worse spot just because of just our population of our state compared to a UCLA or a New York school or whatever. So it's crazy. These last couple months are just everything that's been thrown at us, our kids, our schools is just new, different, and I don't know what to think.
Greg, you anticipated my next question. It was going to be about the name, image, and likeness. Have any of the kids, well, not just on the basketball team, have any of the athletes at Kansas signed any substantial deals?
I don't think so. And, you know, let's just put substantial at, let's say, 10 grand. I haven't heard that. That doesn't mean it's not in the works. And I am also on a athletic department employees, so I have to, you know, I know all the kids and I talk to them on a daily basis, but I stay out of that because, you know, a lot of us, we just don't know how this is going to go. I mean, we're raising money for our school and, you know, massive conflict of interest to help kids along. So my knowledge of that is pretty limited, and publicly no one's tweeted that, hey, we got to deal with such and such for 25 grand to do an appearance or something. That I haven't heard that. There's been some small deals, you know, you're talking about a 1-800 got junk or a roofing company or something like that. So I don't know. You know, I was talking to one of my best friends throughout playing. You guys remember Scott Pollard, who played in the league for 12 years.
Yep.
And you look at him, he's a very unique and eccentric guy. And if social media was around in the 90s and you were allowed to make money, I mean, a guy like that, you think about, he would have made millions of dollars even at Kansas because of his personality and his ability to have people, you know, be kind of an influencer. And so there's gonna be a lot of guys like you two and me, you know, we're just like, man, I could have made a lot of money back then. Instead I was, you know, looking for nickels under my seat to go to a movie or whatever. And so it's a whole new world. We use the Wild Wild West term a lot, but it is, I don't know how else to describe it.
Before I get to, and Dan gets to, what do you expect from next year's team as far as their strengths? This OU Texas thing, it's shaking that whole league, hasn't it? And where do you think Kansas fits in if those two schools bolt?
Well, you know, obviously they're the leaders in our conference as far as if you look at it from a revenue basis and you know, just everything, ticket sales, you know, footprint in our league. And so that would drastically change the makeup of the Big 12. And then, you know, you look at how desirable are we to attract anyone if they're not there. So those are all answers that are going to be made by my superiors above my pay grade. So, but as far as my opinion goes, it would definitely be a big time blow to our league and to a school like Kansas. So as far as where do we land? I mean, if you hypothetically say that those two are gone, I mean, I don't necessarily think the SEC would be the landing spot, but then you probably look at a Big Ten or an ACC would be my. I don't look at the Pac-12 as much, but maybe everything's on the table. Who knows? You know, our football program has struggled, but we think we're on the right incline up. You know, our trajectory is good. We got a new coach, and we're ready to go. It's just been a rough 10 years for us. So that is one thing that'll be very important if all of this comes to fruition. So that'd just be my thoughts. And again, I only know what I read. I don't know any inside stuff. It sure appeared that you know, their response to those rumors a couple of days ago didn't say nope, we're not leaving. It was like nope, we don't comment on that. So I think it's got a lot of people in the Big 12 kind of scratching their head.
Well, I think, and this is, again, is just an opinion, but if the Big 12 would replace Texas and Oklahoma, and what we're hearing in the SEC country is that this is almost a done deal, that that they've been working on it for a long time, and it's about to come to fruition. And if those two teams leave, and they replace them with some of the schools that we're hearing, it would seem like Kansas would have to take a real hard look at finding another home.
Yeah, I haven't heard who would replace those two, but you're probably right. Whoever the replacement is wouldn't be at the caliber of a Texas and Oklahoma as far as, you know, television sets, population, and all that jazz. So, yeah, I don't think I can disagree with that comment, because you'd have to. I mean, I think everybody, the other eight teams, would all be, you know, looking.
Well, put your analyst hat on, and when Dan Issel and I get out there next January to Allen Fieldhouse, a.k.a. the Fog, what's this Kansas team going to look like?
Well, we're going to be a very perimeter-oriented team. You know, we've only got a couple big guys. Dave McCormick has been great for us in the middle, utilize a four-round one, which about 4 or 5 years ago when we only had Landon Lucas underneath, we kind of had to go to that just because of personnel. And Bill wasn't – he was always a three-round two, kind of a high-low type action. And, you know, when your personnel dictates it, that's what you got to do, which has been good for us, especially leading into this year. He's more comfortable running offense like that. So you got 3 point guards in DeJuan Harris, Remy Martin, and Yesufu. That guy, you know, Bill just preaches to get the ball downhill, go downhill, catch it, and no wasted dribbles, and just go. So he wants to constantly put pressure on the defense, make them help, pitch it out to the shooters or throw an alley-oop. Or go to the basket and finish. So you're going to see an aggressive offense with a lot of threes. Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Wilson and Christian Brown. I mean, if I looked at starters, probably Remy Martin, Christian Brown, Ochai Agbaji, Jalen Wilson, and David McCormick in the middle, with 5 guys on the bench that will play a good amount of minutes. So got Cam Martin at the kind of stretch 4 or 5 that can shoot the threes, and then a couple other guys on the bench that'll play some. Coleman Land's a kid we got from Iowa State, can really shoot it, and he's going to be the 2 or 3 guard that can stretch the floor as well with Ochai. So a team that will put up a lot of points, try to play the Bill Self hard-nosed defense that he likes to play. And, you know, again, these are all things we struggled with last year, so it'll be a completely different team. You know, we're not, you know, I think Kentucky has kind of the same fan base as Kansas. You know, we lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament, and our fans are just – we won 21 games last year, and it's a massive failure. And so, which I, for one, and I'm sure you guys are the same as Kentucky guys, you're like that too. Like, if it, Kentucky and Kansas not making a Final Four is a disappointing season. That's good. You know, we don't hang banners at Allen Fieldhouse or at Rupp Arena for making the NIT or losing in the second round. You hang a Final Four banner or nothing. And so that's why being a fan of Kansas and Kentucky is fun, and you kind of stick your chest out. And that's a, to me, that's a good thing. You're competitive, and like, this isn't acceptable. And to the schools that it is acceptable, you don't want to be affiliated with them.
Well, I know you've got a Zoom you've got to jump on at the top of the hour, but quickly, you play for Roy Williams. I know Roy. Dan knows Roy. You got a quick Roy Williams from your time with him story.
Well, you know, he's been so good for Kansas and North Carolina. You know, our fan base doesn't forget him, but when he left, they were a little sore that he left. And I'm like, hey, we were on probation after 1988 national championship season. He takes the job and takes us to another level. Like, we could be, Kansas could have declined drastically, because Roy wasn't the popular choice. He was the third pick. If you remember, Gary Williams and Charlie Spoonhour turned Kansas down, and Bob Frederick hired the third assistant at North Carolina, which nowadays you'd probably lose your job if you were an AD doing that.
It worked out
so well. I love the guy. Unbelievable career. You know, kind of a corny story about Coach Williams was, when I was a high school senior, he wanted to make an impact with me, and he had my home visit was at 12:01 the first night, the first minute that you could go see players. Maybe he just wanted to get the average kid out of the way so he could get some real guys. But regardless, he showed up at my house with Steve Robinson at 12:01, and we had our home visit meeting, and that obviously left an impact on me and my mom and my dad. And I'm from Kansas City, so playing at Kansas 45 minutes away was a no-brainer if they wanted me. So, that, you know, he's been great to me and my family, and it's an unbelievable career, 3 national titles. And it used to always really piss me off when people say he couldn't win the big game at Kansas. And you look back at the 2003 national championship game when – we should have beat Syracuse, but we missed 16 free throws in that game, I think it was, and we lose by 3. And that was Nick Collison and Kirk Heinrich, and we had a squad. And you can't blame that on the coach when you lose by 3 and you miss 16 free throws. And so it's an interesting story with our fan base and Coach Williams, but the trade, so to speak, of Roy Williams to Carolina and Bill Self to Kansas for 2 schools couldn't work out any better. We got a stud in Bill Self. They got their guy in Roy Williams. And, you know, you look at Carolina and North Carolina and Kansas basketball in the last 18 years, and it's crazy how good they both have been.
Yeah. Greg, on a personal note, is Roger Morningstar still hanging around Lawrence?
He is. He got a weird old dude is still running around. I love Roger. he's got a pizza joint in Lawrence. When you guys come in town, we'll go out to Morningstar Pizza, and he drives one of those, you know, Roger's 6'8". He drives one of those tiny little smart cars, which is random. but that's because Roger's random, and he's great. And when you guys are in town, we'll get Roger out there.
Okay.
At least shoot around or something.
Please tell him I said hello. I'll tell you how far back we go. When I went to Denver to play for the Nuggets, Roger Morningstar was my Converse rep.
Yeah.
That's how long I've known Roger.
Well, when I was in college, we were a Converse school. So Roger was our rep as well, which, you know, back then Converse was a massive deal. I mean, Final Four in 93, Kansas, North Carolina, and I believe Kentucky, all 3 of us were Converse, mm-hmm. and Michigan was in that Final Four, and they were Nike, but Converse kind of had the monopoly back then. But they had remember the Choose Your Weapon? With Magic and Bird.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Greg, we really appreciate your time. I'm going to hold you to get me a ticket when we come out there in January, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Well, for sure, you need to come. You know, Rupp Arena is great. Allen Fieldhouse is great. It's, our jobs are so fun to go to all these iconic buildings. And so, yeah, hit me up before the game, and we'll do the show again, and then definitely give you the behind-the-scenes tour. But hopefully you can make it, because it's just so good for college basketball, for Kentucky and Kansas to play, I think.
That's terrific.
It really is.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. All right. That was Greg Gurley, who is the color analyst for the Kansas Jayhawk basketball team. And, of course, he joined us on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline. What would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home and they'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.